In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we celebrate the forefeast of the conception of Saint Anne, the Mother of God. And I don't often have a chance to preach on this subject because the feast is really tomorrow. So we went ahead and put her icon out in the narthex. And I think it's important for us to think just a little bit about who this woman is. We hear the names Joachim and Anna constantly, don't we? At the dismissal of every single service in the Orthodox Church, we talk about Joachim and Anna. But who were they? Why is this feast important? Well, Joachim was actually of the tribe of Judah, and he was from Nazareth, while Anna came from Bethlehem. So you see kind of a connection right there, don't you, with some important things that would come along. Joachim and Anna were both barren. It has been said that they married at the age of 20, and that at the time all this happened, they were 70 years old because they were married for 50 years. We're not really sure about those particular time periods, but that's what's come down to us. So Joachim and Anna being barren was a great reproach upon them. Today, I don't think we realize how desperate that sort of situation was in the days of old. Someone can't have children today. Well, there's all kinds of medical things that perhaps could help them with this. And there's always adoption and on and on and on. But back then, it was a real reproach in the minds of everyone that they lived with. Now, Joachim was a stellar individual, absolutely stellar. He gave a third of all of his earnings, and he was pretty well off, to the poor, the destitute, widows, orphans, this kind of thing. He gave another third of what he had to the maintenance of the temple. And the last third that he had, he kept for himself and for his family. But yet, as time went on, there was a point in time when he went to make an offering in the temple. There was a high priest at that time named Reuben. And when Joachim came to the temple, Reuben refused his offering. He sent him away. He said, somehow, somewhere in your family, in your past, in your history, maybe with you yourself, something is wrong. Something is not right with the Lord because he has not blessed you with children, with offspring. So therefore, your offering is not acceptable. Go, leave. And Joachim, of course, was terribly, terribly upset by this. Because again, Joachim and Anna were very upset that they had had no children. Because back then, if you had no children, well, first of all, you removed yourself because he was in the Davidic line of the possibility of one day being in the line of the Savior himself, of the Messiah. And besides that, if there were no children, then extinction was coming for your line. There was nothing else left there. So Joachim went off into the desert, and he stayed there for a long time, and he swore that he was not going to come back until the Lord had hearkened unto his plea to remove this blight from him and from his family. Now, Anna was the same way. They looked upon her as someone who was sinful, in fact, because she had not been graced with the blessing of children. So she went into a garden and began to pray. And the two of them together presented their petitions. It came to the Lord, and he accepted them. And in fact, it was the archangel Gabriel himself who appeared to both of them, first to Joachim, and he said, the Lord has heard your cries, and he is going to bless you, and you are going to have a child, and it's going to be a daughter, and you will call her name Mary. And Gabriel went and said the same thing to Anna, who had also vowed unto the Lord that if ever she had had children, she was going to dedicate them to the service of God. And that's exactly what happened. Joachim and Anna then came together after their two separate prayer times in the desert and in this garden that she was in. And they saw each other, and they both told each other about what had happened, that there was an appearance of an angel to both of them, and that they would conceive. And indeed, that is indeed what happened. Now, if you look at the icon that is out in the narthex, you will see that Anna is standing there with her hands open, and there is the archangel who is speaking to her, and in the distance, showing among the rocks in the desert, is Joachim. Well, there is another icon of both them, too. It's actually in the 700 building. And that icon there shows Joachim and Anna embracing one another. And in fact, in the background, what do we have? Does anyone know what is in the background of that icon behind them? Well, it's a bed. Why would that be there? Well, the reason is actually a theological one. Because it shows, because some were thinking otherwise at one time, it shows that Joachim and Anna conceived Mary by the seed of Joachim in the womb of Anna. So that it was a birth and a conception that was completely human in nature. This is why that is shown there. Because, of course, Mary, the Theotokos, the Virgin Mother of God, was born, as we all are, from a father and from a mother. Completely different from the case of Joseph and Mary. And so, she who was going to give birth to the incarnate Word was born of human parents. And thereby it removed the blight from Joachim and Anna. It took away the reproach from among all people. Which is why, in a feast that we celebrated, which began the Christmas season on November 21st, Mary was led to the temple by Joachim and Anna and dedicated to God, just like Anna had promised the Lord that they would do. And they were led by children carrying candles and a throng of people. Why the throng of people? Because they were so excited about the fact that Joachim and Anna had had this blight removed from them. It was gone. And so there was great cause for celebration. Now, Joachim and Anna would repose while Mary was still in the temple. And when she finally came out at around the age of 12 or 13, of course, we know that her guardian was chosen, which was Joseph, who would become betrothed to her, and then all of a sudden we are led into where we are currently in this period of Advent when Mary became pregnant with child through the Lord and who would give birth to the incarnate Son of God. So these stories go back a long way. It even talks about Joachim and Anna as being blessed because they are the ones that would provide the heavenly burning bush, which is Mary, the ladder from earth to heaven, which is Mary, the one who would contain the uncontainable God, which is Mary. And so all of this has a history. All of this has a past. And yet, in some instances in the Christian church, we've had distortions of this. And I mention this because the feast day was actually today. In the West, there became something known as the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which means that Mary was conceived without the stain of original sin. Now, of course, Orthodoxy does not recognize any of this. This is something that became solidified in the Roman Catholic West around the year 1200. And even so great of one of their theologians as Thomas Aquinas absolutely rejected this. But it became a steady linchpin until it was defined by Pope Pius IX in 1854, that the Immaculate Conception was a doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. But of course, in the Roman Church system, they need it. In the Orthodox, you don't. Because in the Roman Catholic system, original sin means that we are all guilty of the sin of Adam. And so therefore, for the Lord to be born of someone who is pure, Mary had to have her sin taken away at conception in order that the Lord may be born. Well, in Orthodoxy, of course, none of this is true. We don't believe in this because what that does is it completely denies all of Mary's natural and human virtues, which she attained through her time in the temple in which she attained through her love of the Lord, in which she overcame all of the passions and temptations that we are subject to, even though she was also born in corruption, as all of we are, and therefore she would also die, as all of we do. But yet, she was able to overcome this corruption into which we are all born. These were the important things about Mary, because she was the greatest offering that the world has ever given to the Lord. She was the best human being of all of those ever born, which is why we so celebrate her during this particular time. So the Immaculate Conception is something that is not needed in our theology. And besides the fact, as many theologians have said, if the Lord could remove all sin in the womb at conception for Mary, why does he not do so for all of us too? It would be a quick and easy thing. There would be no need for the cross. There would be no need for the resurrection. The Lord could simply say, your sin is taken away. In this singular privilege, you don't have to worry about it because you are sinless. You are not capable of sin. And of course, this not only denies her virtues, it really denies her humanity too. And so this is one of the reasons why it's important to celebrate this feast tomorrow, which is the conception of Saint Anna, because Mary was conceived as all of us, that she was born into corruption, but she overcame all of these sinful things that we all struggle with by the power of the Lord, and especially, as many of the fathers say, at the moment of the Annunciation, when she became impregnated by the Holy Spirit, because, as I've said so many times, when divinity comes in contact with humanity, everything in humanity has to conform itself to that divinity, which is what happened with Mary at the time of the Annunciation. So, Joachim and Anna, the first in the beginning of our process of salvation. This is a very important thing for us because we say about Joachim and Anna at the end of every dismissal of every service, we kind of hear their names and we say, okay, yeah, but what about them? Why are they so important that we mention them all the time? And this is the reason, because they serve as the starting point, as the igniting point for the salvation that would come to all of us. Let's remember them this season. Let's remember especially them tomorrow when we celebrate Anna's conception, because that's such a wonderful, incredible thing that the Lord did for them in order to prepare the way for His own becoming incarnate during this holy season. So through the prayers of Joachim and Anna, the Lord's forebears, may our Lord Jesus Christ have mercy on us and bring us all to His nativity and into His heavenly kingdom. Amen.